my beloved brethren. Now, do we use the phrase as Christians, brethren, to mean those that are not Christians or those that are Christians? Christians, those that are brothers and our sisters in Jesus Christ. So he's speaking to Christian people, which by your testimony here tonight, we trust that each of you have been born again. God has begotten you in your unity with Jesus Christ. Now let's look here at verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. So let's ask ourselves tonight, we are to receive what? What are we to receive? Receive with meekness the engrafted word. What is the engrafted word? What is the word that is engrafted? What is the picture that is being used here? Now, in 1 Peter, we are told that the word of God is that which is the seed which goes into us and makes us a new creature. It's like the seed that goes down into the ground of a tree or a plant, and it goes down into the ground and it's buried, and out comes new life. And the same picture here is of the Word of God being engrafted into you, as if you were to take a branch and engraft it into a tree. And or to take a seed and to engraft it into the ground, and suddenly out comes life. And that's a picture of the Word of God. We understand that the Word of God that we see here in the Bible is not dead. It's not something that is lifeless, like we're reading a history book and just getting facts out of it. The Word of God is living. It's powerful. As Scripture says, it's like a sharp two-edged sword. A sharp two-edged sword that goes in and pierces. That's what the Word of God is. So what we are to receive is the Word of God. Now let's understand, secondly, what we are to forsake. What are we to forsake here? Look at what James says here. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. In other words, what comes along with our receiving the word is laying apart something, putting it aside, casting it away, abandoning it, forsaking it. Now, what does he say? If you have your Bibles here tonight, what does he say? We are to lay apart all first. All what? Filthiness. And now I won't even make you try to say the next phrase. It's just a mouthful. Superfluity of naughtiness. Okay, that's some good King James English for you there. But let's understand what this means. Lay aside all filthiness first. Do you know what the idea of that Greek word is, filthiness? It's used in the ancient Greek for earwax. Now, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting that that word would be used? The Apostle James says, receive with meekness into you, bring it into you, the engrafted word. And how often do we receive words? Through our ears. And isn't it interesting that the word he is to lay apart for filthiness is the filthiness like earwax. Has your mom ever said to you, you need to clean your ears out? You can't hear anything. You say, what did you just say? Let's go get the Q-tip and clean the wax out of your ears because you can't hear anything. And friends, do you know what the truth of it is? When we receive, if we're going to receive with meekness the engrafted word, we're going to have to lay apart filthiness. We're going to have to lay apart that which is going to clog our ear canal, our spiritual hearing. And what each of you are going to see in your life, Justin and Junior, and Daniel and Shannon and Sarah, is that if you're going to receive and hear what God has to speak to you, you're going to need to cut out the areas in your life that are going to be distracting you. Do you know what I found in my life? Have you ever found this where you have gone to a certain piece of entertainment, a certain kind of music, something else that is a part of you that you enjoy listening to, and then you come and try to go to the Word of God and you just can't focus at all. There's no life in it. There's no vitality. The Word of God is not actually speaking to you. I think the reason for that is because you've got some earwax. You've got some filthiness that is coming in through that entertainment. And you just say, you know, it's time to put this apart. It's time to lay this aside. Lay aside all filthiness. Now, secondly, all superfluity of naughtiness. Now, what's that? It basically means excess, overflowing wickedness and sinfulness. The Bible presents sin as very, very, very sinful. We don't always have the view of sin that we should, but if we understand the Bible view of it, it's exceedingly wicked. And so the James is telling here, if you're going to receive with meekness the engrafted word, you got to clean out your ears, you got to put away that which would distract you, and you've also got to cut off the other sins, the overflowing of wickedness in your life that would distract you and prevent you from receiving. That is what it's going to take for you to receive the word of God in your life. And it's critically important. Third, let's understand here what we are to practice. What we are to practice if we are going to receive this engrafted word. Do you notice what it says here in verse 19? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Do you know what's critical for us if we're going to receive with meekness the engrafted word? A willingness to listen more than we speak. Do you know what James says later on in this passage? He says, let us not be many masters. And what he's saying there is, don't let us all be teachers of the word of God. Why? Because we are going to receive the greater condemnation. In other words, this is what it means. When I stand up here from this pulpit as a teacher of the Word of God, I am signing up for a greater condemnation if I mislead people. Because God has placed those of us in this pulpit to preach His Word. And if I stand up and explain something to you and I mislead you, I am leading you astray in what I'm teaching, what Scripture is saying, I will receive greater condemnation. Now that's why if you are going to get up as a teacher of the Word of God, you better be doing it with fear. You better be doing it with trepidation, with reverence, with respect. Sunday school teachers, do you know that applies to you too? Do you know that when you sign up to be a Sunday school teacher at Straight Gate Church and to lead these young ones, if your lack of preparation is a stumbling block to them, if your lack of willingness to study and to really see what the Word of God says on that subject is a stumbling block to lead them astray, Scripture says you will receive the greater condemnation. And that's why I encourage you, as a Sunday school teacher, recognize how serious the calling you've been called to. And as I stand up here to preach, or anyone else stands in this pulpit to preach, the recognition is that they receive greater condemnation. So what does that mean for you here on the front row? What does that mean for all of us? That means our first response should not be to get up and start speaking. It should be to say, Lord, what are you saying to me? I'm ready to hear. I'm ready to hear what you have to speak to me, not be the first to blurt out everything that we're thinking. The first thing is to receive. And as it's very important for us to recognize, how do we receive the Word of God? We read it. We study it. We seek to, as Scripture says, to rightly divide the word of truth. We memorize it. We have a little assignment here, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, that they still are on the hook to say to me, they still on the hook to recite to me as part of their training here for baptism. But I encourage you, let every one of you be swift to hear the word of God preached. Be swift to receive it. You know, friends, we have many opportunities to hear the word of God preached in this church. We have a morning service. We have an evening service. We have a Wednesday night time. We have a Saturday morning charge. Are you doing everything you can to put yourself under the preaching of the Word of God? Are you sacrificing to say, I'm going to do everything I can so that I can be swift to hear the word of God preached? I want to be swift to hear it proclaimed. It's not the word coming from that is coming from Peter Magnuson. It's that I want to receive with meekness the engrafted word. So first of all, we see here, the command is to receive. It's to receive the engrafted word. Secondly, it's to relinquish. Because friends, let's look here at verse 21. And receive what comes next. Receive with meekness. What does it mean to receive the word of God with meekness for ourselves? What does it mean? Well, it starts last week, if you were here for our evening service. We talked about the foundation of meekness. Does anyone remember what the foundation of meekness was? What it was that Jesus showed in his foundation of meekness? Does anyone remember and would be willing to share their understanding? Joyce? Yes, it's absolute trust and commitment in his Father. You remember that passage we studied from Peter, where Peter says, when he reviled not again. But what did he do? He committed himself to the one that judged righteously, that judgeth righteously. He committed himself to God. And friends, that's where all meekness starts, is when we commit ourselves to God and say, God, when someone disrespects me, I don't need to disrespect them back. Why? Because I've committed the cause to you. When someone is angry at me, I don't need to respond in anger. I don't need to respond in revenge. I can respond in forgiveness. Why? Because I've committed my cause to you. You're taking care of it. And so what does it mean to receive with meekness the engrafted word? First of all, it means be humble. Be humble. What is required is that when we come to the word of God to either read it, to hear it preached, our hearing needs to be under the attitude that, Lord, I need to hear from you tonight. I need to hear from you this morning. There's something that your word is trying to proclaim to me that I don't have right now. Do you know how oftentimes where I see my Bible reading habits go wrong is where I read the word of God for information. I read the word of God for facts. I read the word of God solely to study for maybe a sermon. And I'm not reading it to say, Lord, I need to hear from you today. I need to receive your word, and I'm willing to hear what you have to say. It's that humble expectancy that says, God, you speak, I'm listening. But you know, it's not just to be humble. It's not just in humility. Secondly, it's also to submit. To submit, just like meekness starts with committing ourselves to God, if we want to receive with meekness the engrafted word, do you know what that's going to be? It's going to be submitting ourselves to what his word actually says. Submitting ourselves under God and saying, God, you're the authority. I was so encouraged last night when I was talking with Shannon, and Shannon told me, she said, you know what? I've come to the point where I've just realized I don't even care really. Whatever the Bible says, I just want to do it. I just whatever it says, that's all I care about. I just want to do what the Bible says. Do you know that is how Shannon is going to receive the engrafted word with meekness? Because she's submitting herself to God and saying, God, you tell me what to do and I'll do it. Now, let me explain to you what a temptation for each of us to do. You've heard of maybe an art critic or a music critic. What does the art critic do? What does the music critic do? What do they do? A music critic goes to a concert, and then he writes in the paper the next morning, and he says, they gave a stellar performance. They did a great job. The conductor was masterful. The music was amazing. And he says, you should go to this concert. He says, this was a really disappointing performance. What is the critic doing? He is elevating himself above the performance, above the conductor, above the musicians, and say, I am going to stand as the expert on what is right and what was wrong in this concert. Do you know that somehow often Christians want to stand up as the critics on top of the word of God? and say, I'm going to read the Word of God, and if I like it, I'm going to do what it says. If I don't like it, I'm just going to kind of pretend it doesn't exist. If it says something that makes me a little uncomfortable, maybe I'll just kind of itch it away and I won't worry about that. No. To receive with meekness says, God, whatever you say in this book, I'm going to do it. And we're going to receive the word with meekness when we come with that attitude. To say, God, just tell me this morning. Tell me where I'm wrong and I'll change it. Tell me right now where I need to change and I'll do it. Tell me where I'm not following you right now. I know I'm not following you perfectly. I need something this morning. Show me. And that's going to be what is to receive the word with meekness. But there's one more thing. There's one more thing here as we relinquish our control. And third, it is to accept. Here's what I mean by this. We're not to interpret the word of God to make it say what we want it to say. We're to interpret the word of God with humility to say, as Paul said to Timothy, I want to rightly divide the word of truth. I want to figure out where the divisions are. I want to see exactly where it says. I don't want to be sneaky or tricky with the word of God. I don't want to force upon it my own interpretation. I just want to see what it says, and I'm going to do it. That is meekness, friends. That's what it looks like. And meekness to God is going to be central in all of your Christian lives. If you want to follow after God and you want to keep on growing in Him, it's going to come by receiving with meekness this word. As Peter says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, receive it with meekness, friends. Third, let's understand, we haven't just seen to receive, to relinquish, and third, it's so critical, to respond. To respond. Do you know what the devil's going to try to convince you? He's going to try to put you under the preaching of... He's going to try, if you go under the preaching of God's word, if you read the Bible, he's going to try to have it convince you that the word can just go in your ears and stop there. Look at what James says here. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Let's ask, first of all, why? Why do we need to respond to the word? Because it says here in verse 21, because that engrafted word is able to save your souls. Now, the truth of it is that the word of God is the instrument of salvation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. And when you were saved... Everyone who's saved here was saved because the word of God entered into their heart, and the faith acted on that, and new life was created. That is the instrument of salvation. But friends, the word of God is not just to save your souls, to make you born again. The word of God is to continue saving your soul. We ask someone, when were you saved? Say, well, I was saved when I was 7 years old. I was saved on this date. I was saved at this point in time. And all we're looking at that point is the first dot on the map, the justification. When was I made right with God? But the truth of it, friends, is you're being saved right now. That dot on that map has a line going from it with an arrow pointing forward to your day and time right now. Because salvation is not just salvation from the punishment of sin. We're not just saved and we say, thank you, Lord, I'm going to heaven to be with you eternally. Salvation is from the power of sin in your life, the presence of sin in your life, and the Word of God can work powerfully in your life to bring out, to help you conquer the sin that still lurks inside you. And I will tell you, Junior, Justin, Daniel, Sarah, Shannon, as you grow in your Christian life, you will see sin that is still lurking inside you. You'll say, man, that's not right. Man, I shouldn't be doing that. And it's the Word of God that will be that as you receive it, you relinquish control over it, you submit yourself to God, and you respond to it, it is going to be continue to save you from the presence of sin in your life. That's why, because it's able to save your souls. Secondly, let's understand how we're not to do so. How we are not to respond to the word of God. And James gives us this wonderful picture. Look what he says. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Think of this picture here. How many of you this morning before you left looked in a mirror? Raise your hand. Man, there's some people. Raise your hand this morning. Maybe this is a better question. Raise your hand if you did not look in a mirror this morning before you went to church. James Magnuson, I'm shocked. Now, here is the picture that James gives. If you hear this word of God preached tonight, if you go to your Bible in the morning and read it, and you want to receive it, but then all you do is hear it, and you don't act on it. Do you know what the Bible says? You're like if you had gone into the mirror this morning and you had seen a giant stain on your clothing. You went and looked in the mirror, and your shirt that you were going to put on this morning was just absolutely black. It was just obviously stained. And you look at it and you say, oh no. Oh no, I can't go to church like that. And then you turn around and you forget what the mirror says and you go to church with a big old stain right on your shirt. James says, if you hear the word of God and you don't do it, you're exactly like that person. You're exactly like that person who as the word of God is proclaimed, you say, oh yeah, that's me. I see myself in the mirror. The word of God is the mirror. By the way, do you know what my job as a preacher is? To hold up a mirror to you? My job as a preacher is not to tell you where you're sinful, not to show you where you're wrong, but just to hold up the mirror of the Word of God and say, hey, look, do you see any dirt in there? Do you see any stains in there? Do you see any problems in there? And as you hold up the Word of God as the mirror for you to look into, if you just look at it and say, oh, that's interesting, there's a stain on my clothing, and then you turn around and don't do anything about it, you don't change, you don't reform, you're just like that person. What has it done for you? It's done nothing. And that's why James says that when we are a hearer only and not a doer of the word, we are deceiving our own selves. Friends, do you know what a characteristic of a person who has not been born again? They're a hearer of the word, not a doer. That's a characteristic of someone who has not been regenerated by the Spirit of God. Now, if you're a hearer of the word and not a doer in all areas, that doesn't in some areas, that doesn't mean that you're not born again. But it's characteristic of the person who is not born again. Because it goes in one ear, out the other ear, and they go on with the rest of their lives. Don't let that be you. Look in that mirror and say, ah, that's me. And then what do we do? Then what do? We've seen what not to do, what to do. Look what he says here. He goes on in verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Do you know he has that same example of the mirror? But this time he uses this phrase, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Do you know what that word looketh into means? It has the idea of someone going and stooping over to look into. Very diligently looking. Very diligently studying. Looking in and saying, what's wrong? Where's the stain? Where's the spot? Where's the blemish? Let me see it. I'm going to study where it is. Is that how we go to the Word of God in the morning? Is that how we go to come here to preach tonight? Before you came to hear the word of God preached tonight, did you say, Lord, just let me see what's wrong. Just let me see where I'm not right with you. Let me see where I need to grow. Let me see what I need to do. Or are we just forgetful hearers that are just going to come and plant ourselves in the pews, plant ourselves and say, okay, let me hear it. Are you going to entertain me tonight? Are you going to amuse me? Are you going to have something interesting to say? No. Let us study ourselves in that perfect law of liberty. Look at ourselves in the mirror every time the word of God is preached or proclaimed. Do you know what the remarkable thing for those people who come looking to hear the word of God preached? There might be some part of the message proclaimed that God uses to get a hold of your life and the preacher has no idea. In other words, have you ever been at a sermon where the preacher's preaching on a certain topic and he just happens to say one thing offhandedly and God uses that offhanded remark to just really do a work in your life and you say, wow, thank you, Lord. It's telling us that it's not the words of the preacher, it is the Holy Spirit working through the words of the preacher to show you the mirror of where you are. And our attitude needs to be one of meekness to say, show me, I'll keep on looking. I'm going to study where I need to be changed. But then, friends, it's not just to look in that liberty and that law of liberty, not just look in the mirror and study it and search it out, but it's then to go and do something about it. It's then to see where the stain is, see where the sin is, see where the lack of maturity is, see where the need for growth is, and say, God, I'm going to follow through. I'm going to follow through with you. I'm going to rely on the work of your Spirit to change this in me. I'm going to trust in you to conform me to the image of your Son in this area. And you will not just be a hearer of the law of the word, you will be a doer of it. And the promise of James and the word of God is, you will be blessed. So I say to you five here on the front row, I say to all of you here tonight, that there are three of these components to being a successful hearer of the word of God. It's to receive. It's to put yourself as often as you can under the engrafted word of God, whether it's being preached or whether it's being read. And it's to recognize, it's to submit ourselves, it's to relinquish control over the process to say, God, just show me and I will do. And then it is to respond. Say, God, whatever you show me in that mirror, whatever you show me in that mirror of your word, I am going to do. It's my prayer that you each will understand those three verbs, that it will be a practice in each of your lives, and that as a result, you will be blessed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this teaching of meekness that we see from your word. Thank you for the importance of receiving your precious word with meekness. And I thank you, Lord, that by their testimony, we trust that each of these five has received that engrafted word that has already saved their souls, that has justified them before God. But I pray, Lord, that as they continue in their Christian lives, that day by day they would receive that engrafted word with meekness. Now let's just ask the Lord to show us what needs to change about our reception of the word of God. Show us if there's anything we've seen in the mirror tonight that we need to change. And ask the Spirit of God to give us the grace to be not just a hearer of the word tonight, but a doer. Let's take a few moments and ask the Spirit's direction. Father, thank you for the power of your word. May it truly change and transform each person that is sitting here tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.